We are in that part of Mark's gospel where Jesus is relentlessly journeying towards Jerusalem. He keeps stopping and talking to the disciples and explaining to them what will happen when he gets there. He keeps on explaining that the Son of Man will be handed over to the authorities. He will be executed and will rise again. And the disciples keep on struggling to understand exactly what this means, what Jesus can be speaking of. And here in chapter 10, we have this worked example of Jesus explaining something about his priorities. For the cross will change all priorities. The cross will change the way that we see this world around us. The cross will change how we experience this world of which we are a part. And here, as Jesus is busy ministering in the busy ministry of being Jesus, the healer and the teacher, some parents come bringing their children for a blessing. At one level, this is seen by the disciples as a distraction, as an unnecessary addition to an already busy schedule. But at another level, it's to do with status, priorities, importance, worth. If anything, the sense of the worth of young children was even more challenging in generations past. Not least because, of course, young children were, well, they didn't have as many opportunities to thrive as our children do. Infant mortality was much more of an active discussion, an active issue in cultures compared to our own today, but actually still recognizable in other parts of the world. And so the status of children was, well, they were almost liminal, edge-like creatures. They weren't quite properly with us yet until they reached an age where they could be useful parts of society. And here come parents bringing their children to Jesus for a blessing. Don't they understand that some of the people here have urgent medical conditions that require assistance? Don't they understand that the true nature of Jesus' calling is to completely overturn the nature of political oppression in the land, to restore the new kingdom of God's glory here on earth? Why on earth would Jesus be interested in blessing children? And Jesus is indignant, angered, some of our English translations put it. Yet again, they have not grasped the significance of what is going on. Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus changes our perspective on status and significance and importance and worth. One of the natural outworkings of teaching like this is that churches ought to be places of welcome and safety and blessing for children. And we work hard to make that so. With our Explorers group, our youth group, our Boys Brigade, our Brownies and Scouts, with all the many activities that go on, we are seeking to provide safe places where children can be nurtured and encouraged and grow. When we have an infant blessing service, a Thanksgiving service here, I always make you as a church renew that promise that we will always be a place and a people of welcome and safety for children in our midst. The children are not the church of tomorrow. They are the children, the church of today. They are every bit as significant as others in our midst. We are called to be welcoming, supportive, challenging, and encouraging of our children. There is a very important message in there, but it might have to be labored a little bit more some other time. Because actually, that's not quite what this passage is about. Jesus did not do this in order to challenge churches 2,000 years' time to have robust safeguarding policies and safe recruitment of explorers' leaders. Jesus actually wanted his disciples and those around him to look at children and see something different in them and learn something from them that would change the way that they saw the world all around them. We are called to welcome children, yes, but we are also called to become childlike. I guess it's splitting minute differences in the use of the English language. I'm not sure this calls us to be childish, although many years of experience of working in churches would suggest that we manage childish quite well. In fact, childishness is something that adults are rather given to with our squabbles and our upsets. But rather to become childlike, to understand this world with a different sense of priorities. I think it's no accident that Jesus immediately goes on to encounter someone and to talk in the way that follows. This is what happens next. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. And then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible. But not for God. For God, all things are possible." Jesus has called his followers to a childlike faith. He has challenged them that the way to enter the kingdom of God is in a childlike manner. And then Jesus meets this man who has kept all the rules ever since he was a youth. He has done everything that is necessary. And Jesus looks at him, and Jesus loves him. I think we sometimes forget that those little words are in this story too. We quickly jump to the arrogance of the man with possessions who will not sell them. Maybe we find too much of ourselves in him. Jesus looks at him and loves him and says, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Then come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Children hold lightly to possessions. It's maddening as a parent, isn't it? That thing they have wanted and they have nagged you incessantly for, the thing that has been on their Christmas list for 11 months, disappears 2 days before Christmas because something else has taken their fancy. We laugh about the fact that our children are as likely to play with the box that something came in as the thing that was in the box in the first place. And what are we accusing them of? Being childlike with their possessions. Not grasping and holding on. Not valuing things in the way that we value them. What has this man really wanted? He wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus says it won't cost you much. Just everything you've got. But you've got to understand, everything you've got is nothing in comparison to what you will have. But he's too much of a grown-up. He's too much in love with the stuff to really enjoy the life. The disciples, again, struggle to understand. How is this going to be possible? And Jesus tells them that famous story about it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful story. This has given preachers fun for years trying to work out what to do with that passage. In some point in the 19th century, someone came up with a solution. They'd been on holiday, they'd been on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, someone had told them this story and explained that this little gate in the walls was the gate that they used to bring camels through. But the only way to get a camel through was to take all of the stuff off its back and it would come through on its knees. It's a fantastic story. I've used it myself. Unfortunately, as far as we can tell, it's utter rubbish. It sounds as if this was the equivalent of the stories that a bus driver will tell you on the Ring of Kerry. stories to keep the tourists entertained and distracted during the less exciting bits of the trip. What Jesus is actually doing is probably more of a word play, a pun, a way of stating something to the absurd in order that you might get the point. There is the possibility that there is a word play here around the word camel. I think it goes to the Aramaic, and you can tell I don't read the Aramaic. But there's a word play between camel and rope. And so you might think that Jesus is saying how hard it is to get a rope through the eye of the needle, but he actually says camel. And it's hilarious. And you're not laughing. But the point is that it's absurd. You just can't do it. And this is another way of Jesus explaining that the only way to come into the kingdom is to be childlike, to let go, to focus on the one thing that truly matters, to be childlike. One of the great accusations that's been made in recent days about Greta Thunberg is that she's childlike. Yes, she is a child. Spot why she might be childlike. Actually, she strikes me as having more adult gravitas than many, many people that I have met. But the childlike nature in her comes through in her single-minded, determined nature, that there is one thing that truly matters. There's a glorious photograph in the papers this week of her sat on a bench at the Oxford College, Lady Margaret Hall, with Malala, another young person who had a single-minded energy to challenge one thing and to challenge it with all of her might. Her desire to see young girls given the opportunity of education where that opportunity had never been given in the past. You see two young women sat as childlike friends, both determined that the world needs to listen. What is childishness? And what is childlike faith? What is childishness but the hanging on to all these possessions that will not get this man what he truly desires? That is childishness. To become childlike for him, and it may be different for each and every one of us. For him, what it needed was to take everything he had, sell it and give the money to the poor and follow Jesus. Jesus takes the children into his midst and says, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, like a little child, will never enter it." This series of sermons, as we journey through Mark, has at its conclusion, but also its ongoing heart, the way that the cross changes our perspective on everything. It changes our priorities. It changes our understanding of status, importance, and worth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him might not die, but have everlasting life. How do we achieve this? How do we earn this? How do we acquire this? How do we purchase this? All the wrong way of looking at it. How do we receive what is freely given? We receive it like little children, with childlike faith. We trust the one who is giving. We trust the giver, and we follow him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, continue to speak, we pray, that we might hear you and respond. Amen.